All right, I want to welcome on our final word session at Wolfbeck, and we will announce the theme for next year and the dates for next year. All right? And I got the theme this morning when Reverend Jonathan Shuttlesworth had been thinking about it, but when he started preaching, I said that's the theme for next year. All right? I've introduced how we met. We met supernaturally in Uganda just about 8 weeks ago. And like he said this morning, he told me, and I told him, this is a relationship we'll have for life. All right? A divine relationship that God has established. He has a message this evening. He has a message. Let's welcome Reverend Jonathan Shuttlesworth.
Come on, Lagos, give Jesus a great big hand clap today. Who came ready to receive from the Lord? Give a big hand clap for everybody watching all over the world on YouTube and television. Make them at home. Let's lift our hands one final time today. Father, I thank you for all that you've done in these great days of this awesome convention. Thank you for the privilege of taking the first days of this new year called 2026 and consecrating them to you. Thank you for an unhindered flow of your spirit from now through the end of the year. Thank you that this year will not be a repeat of 2025. This will be the greatest year that any of us have ever had. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said a living amen. Amen. Give the Lord a great hand clap and you can be seated. I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for the privilege to not only speak at one of the greatest conventions in the world, Wolfbeck, but to be given the honor of speaking the closing session in this great stadium. This is a dream. I saw Pastor Adeboye in Toronto about less than 10 years ago, and he laid hands on me then, and I had no churches. And we have four churches now by the grace of God since that encounter. And it is a dream to be in the same service with him. How many of you have enjoyed Pastor Adeboye tonight and through the years? I have to say, when he announced that he was going to be speaking on the colonization of the white man, a scripture from Genesis came to me, and Joseph ran out of the house. But thankfully, I'm still alive. Praise God. I want you, if you have your Bibles, open them with me to Ezra chapter 9, verse 8. Ezra, the 9th chapter and the 8th verse. I want to tell you by the Holy Ghost what God laid on my heart beginning last year and then into this year that will give all of us. This is a world, Word of Faith, World Believers Conference. And I believe this doesn't apply. I'm not speaking for America. I'm not speaking just for Nigeria, but this is the direction that God has for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. The Bible says, and now for a little space, grace has been shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place. If you read other translations, that nail in the holy place talks about a place in the temple that the people of God can hold on to for security while they were in a world of captivity. You can keep it up, Ezra 9:8. And now God has given us a little space of grace to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and may give us a little reviving in our bondage. If you would put up Ezra chapter 1, verse 2. Everyone say a little reviving in our bondage. When I grew up in the Pentecostal church, they would tell us we were living in the last days, and we are living in the final hours of the last days. But there would be this overarching teaching that because we're in the last days, the devil has carte blanche to do whatever he wants. It was like the church was going to get weaker and Satan's power was going to get greater. Though the Bible says that wickedness will abound, the same Bible says that in the midst of that wickedness, where wickedness abounds, there the grace and power of God that much more abounds. And God told the people in captivity, in the midst of your bondage in Babylon, I'm going to give you a space of grace and revive you. Now, I told you I'm not going to talk just about America, but I am going to tell you a little bit about America, which I'm sure from the news you already know. And many of you go to America quite a bit and have family in America. America was this close to becoming a godless communist nation. It didn't start recently. Starting in the 1960s, they began to go very hard against God in public school and teach people that you didn't come from God, you came from animals. If you teach people they come from animals, they begin to act like animals. When you teach people they come from God, they begin to act like God that created them. Can you say amen? A process was set in motion to destroy the United States. Church attendance was at an all-time low. Almost no ministers had hope left that anything would turn around. You would hear people say from the pulpit things like, God is angry with America. America has turned its back on God. But I held during that time to a scripture. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will revive their land. God has the ability not just to revive a person or a family. God can shake an entire nation. And if the devil has set up shop in a nation for 20 years, 40 years, it doesn't take God 10 years to shake him out of that nation. God can destroy the work of the devil in one day and revive his people. 2026 will be a year of great revival in all the nations of the world. And Nigeria will not be left out. And the nations of the world that are watching will not be left out. If you believe it, can you say amen? Amen. Let me see Ezra 1, verse 2. Right in that same book, Ezra chapter 1, verse 2. Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia. Now, Cyrus is not a godly king. Cyrus is in Persia, the country that's ruling and has the people of God in captive. The Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Verse 3. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. Verse 4. And whosoever remaineth in any place where that man travels, let the Persians give him silver and gold with goods and animals beside the freewill offering for the house of God that's in Jerusalem. 5. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all of them whose spirit God had raised, to go up to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. 6. And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, with beasts, and with precious things, beside all that was willingly offered. 7. Also Cyrus the king brought forth vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem, and had put them in the house of his gods. 8. Even those did Cyrus, king of Persia, bring forth by the hand of Mithridath the treasurer, and numbered them unto Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. 9. And this is the number of them, 30 chargers of gold, and thousands of chargers of silver, and 29. I want you to say a scripture that would be familiar to many people that are here. Say, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. When it looked like all hope was gone, God stirred the heart of that pagan king and said, this God that you serve, I don't serve him, but I want you to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild that temple, and I'm going to cause my people to give you their silver and gold to rebuild the temple. 2026, there is an anointing. If you were at Wolfbeck yesterday, I told you the scripture specifically that God gave me for this year, 1 Kings chapter 18, that Elijah told the prophets of Baal and Ashtoreth that enough is enough. I want to confront you. And they called the fire of God down and burned the sacrifice up and then destroyed all of those prophets. There is an anointing on confronting the powers of darkness in 2026, because the devil's reign of terror over humanity is over, and God is raising up people on this field, watching on YouTube, watching on television, that by the anointing you will be a mighty deliverer for your generation in the name of Jesus Christ. If you believe that today, can you let your amen be the loudest? Amen. An anointing of confrontation. Did you know that today is the exact anniversary of when Benson Itohosa was told that his church would be bulldozed, and he made the statement that the government that tries to take down my church will fall before my church does? And we know how that played out. The church stayed and grew, and those that opposed Archbishop Benson Itohosa went their separate ways, because the devil is very good at talking, but when it comes time to fight, he's empty-handed and he has no answer. Listen, the devil can easily defeat religion. He can easily defeat philosophy, but he has no answer for the power of the Holy Ghost that lives in me and that lives in you. When I was preaching on crossover night, I preached out of that scripture, 1 Kings 18. And I told what the Lord spoke to me. Of course, I was over in the Western Hemisphere. I told the people of America in my church, I said, there's a judgment that's going to come on the drug cartels that are operating, because they crossed a line when they stopped trafficking drugs and began to traffic little boys and little girls. And the anger of the Lord is going to blaze against them. Then with that, the anger of the Lord is also going to blaze against anyone who is working actively to keep the gospel of Jesus Christ from going into nations. For the Bible declares, before the end comes, this gospel must be preached to all nations as a witness. I was surprised. People started to blow up my phone about 4 hours after New Year's, that one of the places that missionaries and churches had all been kicked out of, Venezuela, that leader was removed that night. The first thing that regime did was close churches and send all missionaries home. Did you know, as we're sitting here right now, this is not a political statement, this is what's happening right now. Iran is being turned over right now from the rulership they were under to a moderate rulership that will open the door for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to go back in. Because, amen, something that you, if someone would have told you 5 years ago or a year and a half that would happen, it sounded impossible. But that word, Ezra 9:8, is coming back. That in the midst of this bondage, God is sending a reviving to this world, that every generation will be able to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ with signs and wonders following. Can I tell you something tonight? You're not just going to watch it happen. Every person on this field is going to be anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, and take your part to do what God's called you to do and be who God's called you to be. If you believe that with me, do what the Bible says. Clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God. The devil is defeated. Jesus Christ is King of Kings. I want to tell you something that came out this morning. The palace guard that was guarding Maduro in Venezuela, they said in an interview, you know, no one died. I don't think anybody was shot when they went to extract Maduro. So they wondered, how were they able to get Maduro without any gunfire? And the guard said, something hit us. There was a beam of sound that hit us and knocked our equilibrium off, and we collapsed to the ground and began to vomit. They found out that they had developed a weapon, Delta Force, that can focus a laser beam of 200 decibel sound, and when it hits you, it knocks your equilibrium off, and you fall to the ground and are disoriented for several days or up to a month. Do you know why I'm bringing that up? I'm not running propaganda for the U.S. military. All those men were the best trained. They were accurate with machine guns. They were accurate with grenades. They were the best in hand-to-hand combat. They were the top 1% of the soldiers in Venezuela to guard Maduro. But there was a type of weapon that made all of their weapons and all of their training useless. That's a type of what happens when we flow in the Holy Ghost. Are there demons? Yes. Do they have weapons? Yes. But God has a flow of the Holy Ghost that renders every weapon of the devil inoperative and useless. I prophesy in the name of Jesus, from the back of the stadium to the front, every weapon of the devil that's been aligned against you, it falls flat tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Say it with me, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. You see that not just in that scripture, you see it all through the Bible. Where were those birds getting the bread and meat to feed Elijah? Birds don't have a grocery store. There was a famine in the whole land. This is not in the Bible, but it is in Jewish writings that Ahab kept meat and bread in the palace. And he had pet ravens. And from Jewish historians, they say that the ravens took the bread and meat from Ahab's table and flew it to the prophet at the brook where he was staying. Say it one more time. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. If you were here last night and you were here now to hear Sister Sinatra's song, There's Another Flow. That's actually what I had typed in my phone as my title. There's another flow. Because there's two ways to do what God's called you to do. There's your way. See, many times people hear what God has for them to do. They believe that this is a time of rebuilding the temple, rebuilding churches. But they go about it in the arm of the flesh. In America, if a pastor wants to build a church, the first thing they do is not fast, not pray. They go straight to the bank. They tell the bank what they have in as collateral and see how big of a loan they can get. But the Bible says one of the Abrahamic blessings. Take your Bible and turn to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14. Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. Verses 1 through 14. This is the New Living Translation. This is the Abrahamic blessing to all who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 1, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings. Say it so the devil can hear you. I will experience all of these blessings. So it's not just that you'll believe them. It's not just that you'll confess them. You will have them. You'll hold them in your hand this year in Jesus' name. You'll experience all these blessings. If you obey the Lord your God, your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go, and whatever you do, you will be blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They'll attack you from one direction, but they'll run from you in seven. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. Everybody say, my storehouse is filled with grain. Do you know what that means? That means before any need arises, the provision will be there ahead of time. You will never play from behind again in the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he's giving you. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he swore he would do. Then all the nations of the world will see that you're a people claimed by God, and they'll stand in awe of you. The Lord will give you prosperity. There was a time where to hear any prosperity preaching, you had to hear it in America. Then everyone stopped preaching it. Then there was a time where to hear any prosperity preaching, you had to listen to preachers in Nigeria. That's how I found most of the preachers here, because I was broke and I knew it wasn't the will of God for me to live in lack. So I needed to hear preaching on prosperity, because faith comes by and hearing by. And now I've noticed, as I follow Nigerian church blogs and Nigerian preachers and Nigerian commenters and Nigerian newspapers, that now the same disease that went to America is trying to come in here, where they mock prosperity and they mock people like Pastor Adeboye for having a plane, a man that oversees churches in 190 nations at 84 years old. But I came on my last session to tell the devil, whether you like it or not, the richest people on planet Earth will be the seed of Abraham in Nigeria, in Jesus' mighty name. If you receive it, let your hand clap and shout be the loudest. Somebody shout hallelujah. Have people abused prosperity? Sure. There's bad people that preach prosperity. There's bad people that cook in restaurants. Find a good one and go eat. Just because somebody messes up doesn't mean you throw the whole thing out. If the devil has his way, he wants the wealth in the hand of drug traffickers, child traffickers. Let me ask you a question. How come people are quick to criticize Bishop Oyedepo, Pastor Adeboye, for having a plane, but you never hear him say one word about a man like Jeffrey Epstein, who had a plane to traffic children to an island for them to be molested? I came to tell the devil, you will not make me ashamed of my Abrahamic blessing. The Bible doesn't say God will meet my needs. The Bible says he's El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. If you know that God tonight, let your hand clap and shout be heard one more time. The Lord will give you prosperity. Prosperity is not the devil's word. Prosperity is God's word. In the land he swore to your ancestors to give you, blessing you with many children, numerous livestock, and abundant crops. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens, and will bless all the work you do. If God promised to bless the work you do, that means you have a scriptural right to have work to do. Anyone in this building that doesn't have gainful employment, the Lord is opening a great door for you today in Jesus' name. And he won't just give you work, he'll bless all the work you do. You will lend to many, but thou shalt not borrow. If you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today and be careful to obey them, the Lord will make you the head and never the tail. You will always be on top. You will never be at the bottom. I prophesy in the name of Jesus, the last defeat that you saw will be the last defeat that you ever see, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Say it so the devil can hear you. Always the head, never the tail. Can you say amen? Now say what Sister Sinat said. Say there's another flow. Say I'm getting in that flow tonight. Hallelujah. Say it one more time. I'm getting in that flow tonight. During the COVID lockdowns, there was almost no church services in the United States. And my uncle, who's 70 years old, he's a real prophet. He's called me before and told me where I'm standing, told me what the Lord had to say, and he never misses. He was preaching about an hour and a half from my home in Pennsylvania. And I told my wife, I want to go to church. I don't want to watch online. I want to be in the presence of God. So we went. On the way down, 90-minute drive, the Lord had laid on my heart that I'm to build him a church in Pittsburgh. During COVID, steel prices tripled. All building supply, lumber, steel, all tripled, concrete. So I had enough money to build a church before COVID, but I was short about $6 million to build one once the prices rose. But that scripture, and again, I'm not just trying to give honor, I'm telling you the truth. I didn't learn this in America. I learned listening to Bishop Oyedepo and Pastor Adeboye that God is never limited to the economy of a nation. There's a heavenly supply that has your name on it, and the Holy Ghost knows the keypad to punch to enter your account. Can you say amen? Amen. So I was telling my wife, I said, I'm not getting a loan. I don't think I qualify for a loan anyway for that much. But I said, I don't know how we're going to build a church. I said, and secondly, I don't know how I'm going to keep my evangelistic ministry going and do a church. Because normally you have to pick one or the other, or both get mediocre. And I said to her on the drive down, the only person I can think of that did it successfully is Lester Sumrall. So maybe I'll follow his pattern. I went to church. You know, it's good that you're in church tonight. Good things happen in church. When you're believing for something, don't stay home and believe by yourself. Get where the anointing is, get where the preaching is, and you're gonna find tonight God has a miracle with your name on it. I went and sat in the back because I wasn't looking to get discovered. I just wanted to go to church and listen. So I sat pretty close to the back. And my uncle, as he was preaching, I got there late. He pointed and said, is that my nephew, Jonathan? I shook my head, yes. He said, have you and your wife come up here? So I came up. As I was coming up, everybody say, there's another flow. He said, as you're walking to me, Lester Sumrall's face comes up before me. Hold out your hands. And I held out my hands. He said, the Lord says, I'm giving you three gifts. And he took his hand and put it in my one hand. He said, I'm... I'm giving you a church building. I'm giving you a Bible school. And thou hast said, this is what he said, thou hast said, Lord, he's too good. What a mighty God we serve. I'm telling you from the depth of my heart, in my little white body, whatever you came in here in need of, God is not going to give you what you need. God's anointing your head with oil, and your cup shall run over. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the devil's in for the worst year he's ever had. He's clearing out of your life right now. Then he said, thus says the Lord, thou hast said, Lord, how will I be able to do both things? But the Lord says, I'm giving you a third gift, that you'll be able to travel and be in two cities in the same day. And people will even say, how was he able to be here and here? And I shook my head and said, thank you. And I'm telling you, it's been a whirlwind since that word. I'll tell you the first thing that happened. Sinach knows my wife and her twin sister. They were praying in the Holy Ghost together. And the Lord triggered a piece of property to my sister-in-law. And she took one of our assistant pastors and said, go write down the phone number of this property. It was a three-story building right by the airport. God must like airports. He always has people build churches next to them. And so the assistant pastor, Sammy, went and wrote down the number. As he did, the owner of the building came out, a lady. She said, "Are you interested in this building?" Well, he didn't want to commit us. So he said, "Well, the people I work for just sent me to write down the number." She said, "What is your company?" He said, "A church." Normally in America, if you tell people it's a church, unless you're in Texas, that's the end of the business conversation right there. He said, "It's a church." When he told the lady it's a church, she went like this. She said, "I just prayed today that God would help me unload this building, and I believe you're the answer to that prayer." Second part, don't get banks involved. Just meet with me and my husband. Don't worry about money. Let's just talk. So they went to talk. When they talked, her husband was there. He asked a bunch of questions. They answered the questions. And he said, "How much money does it say you owe today for the down payment?" They said, $550,000 US. He said, "Keep it. Just pay me $10,000 a month for 3 years. That building is worth $5.3 million. And he said, "You can have it for $360,000. No banks involved." But it got better. We paid in October. We paid in November. We paid in December. At Christmas, the man walked in with the deed and the three checks uncashed. He said, "I like what you people are doing. The building belongs to you." And just like the word of God said, God gave us a church. I'm telling you, I want to tell every devil that runs a blog, that runs a YouTube channel, you can run your mouth all you want. You'll never change the fact that he's El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. Say it out loud. He knows my name. Say it out loud. I might look like everybody else, but I'm not like everybody else. I have a covenant with God. If you believe it, clap your hands and shout one more time. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Everybody say a church. Kaboom. Gift one. Open the Bible school. Full of students. Gift two. Then how are you going to keep it going? Right after I got that word, I was preaching in another state. And when I finished, a man walked up and said, "I liked your preaching." I said, "Thank you." He said, "I'm taking ownership of a Falcon 50 aircraft. It's going to take me 2 years to get it ready to fly. When I'm done, I'm going to give it to you." Now, I know you got excited. I'm a preacher's kid. I've heard Christians get excited and say crazy stuff. When they feel the presence of God, they'll say stuff that they're excited and they have no ability to do what they said. So when he said that, I just went like this. And I figured I'll never hear from him again. You know, I never even got his name. I never got his number. And a year and a half later, which was right after my uncle gave me that word, that guy that I never got his information, he called our office. He said, "I told Jonathan I'm going to give him a plane in 2 years. It's been a year and a half. It'll be ready in 6 months. Do you have a place to put it?" I didn't even know you needed a place to put it. I was just going to put it in the parking lot of the grocery store. My Patrick that runs our office, he said, "No, but we'll get a place." He said, "Have it ready, and the plane will be there in October." And did you know, as that church was opening and I was wondering how I was going to keep traveling and preaching, I came to the airfield in October. I hadn't talked to that man since the altar 2 years ago, and they told me to wait here. And as I did, around the corner came a Falcon 50 plane. They pulled it up. He said, "All you have to do is get pilots and fill it with fuel, and we take care of everything." And God gave me all those things that he said. Now listen, I know there's people who abuse people to get aircraft in church, but I'm telling you, you are making a mistake to pick up a microphone and say preachers shouldn't have jets, because who gave me that plane? I know I couldn't afford it. I could barely afford a car. Did you know when we got that plane, I was still living in an apartment? I didn't even have a house. One time when we landed the plane, the Uber driver picked me up and said, "Where do you live?" He just watched me come out of the plane. I told him my address and he went like this, "Where?" I may be the only person in the history of the world that had a private jet and an apartment. You know why? God will move so fast. He'll take you where nobody thinks you're qualified for. I'm telling you, he's not going to take you. He's taking you right now. Somebody shout right now. God is going to do something in your life this year that even your own mother, even your own father, forget your haters, even your biggest fans are going to drop their jaws and say, "Surely the Lord has done great things." Receive that today. Did you know that plane has three engines? The one up top goes in reverse thrust, so you can land at any airfield in the world. If I'm preaching in a little country church, I can land at their small airport because it can stop in less than 1,000 meters. Three engines, that helps. If one engine dies, you can still fly. If two engines die, you can still fly, just not very fast. And if all three engines die, you're not paying your tithes, I can tell you that much. You got a mistress or something. God didn't just give me a plane. God gave me the perfect plane for the assignment. I have a few minutes left. I want to use them to echo what Pastor Poju said. As you get ready to enter into your time of prayer and fasting, make your goal. I never prayed for a plane. I never prayed for a building. I prayed, "Lord, in this time that you're rebuilding the temple, use me to build churches. Use me to preach the gospel. Use me to win the lost." But God made a promise. If you'll seek first the establishment of my kingdom, all the other things that everyone's missing church for, that everyone's believing for, just put my kingdom first. And when you do, all the other things will be added unto you. I'm telling you, God is dropping gifts from heaven into your lap tonight in Jesus' mighty name. I want to tell you one last thing and then I'm done. Did anyone hear me tell the story yesterday about the Lord speaking me to do that Christmas outreach in Texas? Did you know that the White House sent toys to help? Then I found this out. I don't know if you follow US News or not, but they're finding tens of billions of dollars of fraud in the United States. Money that was supposed to help the poor never got to the poor. It was laundered through fake organizations and went back to the politicians. This is in America. I'm not talking about other countries. And they found it. How many of you read Ezra 1? That God moved the heart of that king to say, "Take our silver and gold and use it to build the temple." I've never taken government money. A year ago, I would have told you I never would take government money. I'll tell you today, if I ever did, I'm sure the government would want me to sign papers. I will also have papers for them to sign, because that can be a trap. But now that I see that in scripture, after the Lord spoke to me to do that outreach in Houston, I got a call from the White House. They said, "All of this money we're discovering, we want to find a way to get it actually to the poor. And we saw what you did in Houston. Would you be interested? Can we use you as someone to send that fraudulent money through to reach the poor? And then I'm free to preach the gospel when I do it." The wealth of the wicked is literally laid up. Everybody say, "For the righteous." Now listen to this. Why was I a candidate for that? Because they saw that when they entrusted me with it, just like Joseph, all of it got to the people. You get mocked when you're honest. You get mocked when you won't lie. People will tell you that's just the way things are done in New York. That's just the way things are done here. That's the way they do things in Lagos. But when you decide, I'm going to serve and fear God. God puts a spotlight on you. And sooner or later, all the money that everybody's trying to get, can I tell you something? As you've decided to serve the Lord, you will never spend a day going out chasing blessing. From today, you're not out looking for money. Money's out looking for you. Get ready for the best year that you've ever had. Get ready for the best year that you've ever had. From glory to glory, victory to victory, and strength to strength, whether the devil likes it or not, in Jesus' name.